Chapter 21, The Mongols Devastate the East. Genghis Khan, Emperor of All Men. While Christian and Islamic armies were fighting with each other in the West, a different kind of battle was going on in the East. The Eastern kingdoms of China and Japan didn't have to worry about invading Muslim armies, but they did have to worry about the Mongols. The Mongols came from the wild, cold mountains north of China. They lived in felt tents, which they took down each morning, leaving nothing but ashes behind. They were nomads who swept over the countryside, conquering and killing. The bone-chilling cold of the north didn't stop them. They wore furs and leather and rubbed their skin with grease to keep the wind away. They never settled down and grew crops. Instead, they ate foxes, rabbits, and other small wild creatures. But they could go without food for days at a time. If they were in danger of starving, they would open the veins of their horses, drink some blood, and then close the vein and ride on. The Mongol tribes raided Chinese villages on the northern edge of China. They killed merchants and stole their goods, but they never tried to invade China itself, until Genghis Khan became their leader. Genghis Khan belonged to a small Mongol tribe called the Yaka. His father was the Yaka chieftain, or Khan. But the Yaka were only one of many Mongol clans, and the Mongols fought with each other as often as they fought with the Chinese. Genghis Khan had a better idea. He thought that the Mongols should all join together and attack China. Just on the other side of the Great Wall lay the rich Chinese city of Peking, where people lived in warm houses, heated by fires, with soft beds, plenty of food, and bags of gold. Genghis Khan wanted to conquer this rich city. But first he had to convince all the Mongol tribes to follow him. When his father died, Genghis Khan became leader of the Yaka. He set out at once to conquer the other Mongol clans as well. He fought savagely against them, forcing their leaders to swear allegiance to him. He promised, "Anyone who doesn't follow me will be killed. I will flatten his tent far into the ground, so that a horse galloping across it at midnight won't even stumble. The greatest joy in my life is to kill my rivals and steal their possessions." Would you surrender to a man who talked like that? Most of the Mongols did, and those who didn't were killed. After Genghis Khan killed one rival leader, he moved his tent to cover the body. Then he ordered his servants to remove the body through the tent's smoke hole late at night while everyone was watching the front of the tent. In the morning, he announced that the gods had killed his rival and spirited the body away as punishment for defying Genghis Khan. After that, everyone followed Genghis. Now it was time for Khan to lead the unified Mongols against China. They swarmed down out of the north, destroying every city they came across, leveling every building to the ground. They broke through the Great Wall into China. And while King John was signing the Magna Carta over in England, Genghis Khan was conquering the city of Peking. But then Genghis Khan decided to turn his armies to the west. He told his followers that the sky god Tengri had chosen them to conquer the earth. And then he led them against the frontiers of the Islamic Empire. No one could stop this horrific invasion. Genghis Khan and his Mongol horde seemed like the punishment of God. Muslims called him the Scourge. He terrorized the western part of the Islamic Empire for 5 years and conquered cities almost as far as the Caspian Sea. Villagers were so frightened of him that when the Mongol warriors came into sight, they would lie down on their faces and surrender without even trying to fight. One Muslim historian, Ibn Athir, tells this story about 18 men who were riding along when a single Mongol horseman thundered up. "The Mongol told them to tie each other up," Ibn Athir writes, "and so terrified were they that they began to do so. Then one of the men said, 'There's only one of him and 18 of us. Why don't we just kill him and go on our way?' But the other 17 were too frightened. 'He will kill us if we defy him,' they wailed, and went on tying each other up. So the 18th man rode up and knocked the Mongol off his horse. Then the other 17 galloped away, crying, "Allah preserve us! A Mongol is here!" No wonder Genghis Khan conquered such a huge empire. His enemies were too scared to fight back. Genghis Khan was still fighting when he grew ill and died. His people took him back to China to bury him. But they killed everyone who saw the funeral procession pass by, so that no one would know where his grave was. Even today, no one has ever discovered the burial place of Genghis Khan. The Mongol Conquest of China. When Genghis Khan died, the Mongols ruled an enormous empire, and their kingdom soon expanded even more. The Mongols took land away from the Islamic Empire. They conquered part of the Byzantine Empire. Their kingdom stretched from the Yellow Sea to the west as far as the Mediterranean. And when Genghis Khan's grandson, Kublai Khan, came to the throne, he completed what Genghis Khan had begun. He became the Emperor of China. Kublai Khan already had control of the city of Peking, which his grandfather Genghis had conquered. Now he began to fight his way to the south. It wasn't an easy fight. The Mongols were ferocious warriors, but the Chinese were shrewd and well-educated. Their scientists had developed new weapons to defend against invasion. They knew how to make poisonous fogs which could be blown across a battlefield, the soul-hunting fog, which had arsenic in it, the five-league fog, made out of gunpowder, wolf dung, and other strange ingredients, and the magic smoke, powdered lime shot into the air to make a choking cloud. But in the end, the Mongol fierceness defeated the Chinese wisdom. Kublai Khan marched into China and removed the emperor from the throne. Now he was Emperor of China, and he founded a new dynasty, a Mongol dynasty, to sit on the Chinese throne. Kublai Khan lived in great luxury. He built a huge palace in the city of Peking and hired 10,000 bodyguards to protect him. Everyone who came into his palace had to take off his shoes to show humility in the presence of the Khan. And whenever his officials called out, "Bow down and worship," all of his visitors would bow down until their foreheads touched the floor. Now that he was the emperor, Kublai Khan wanted to conquer the countries on China's coast. Korea, the small nation on China's east coast, was defeated at once. But when Kublai Khan attacked Japan, he met with his only big defeat. At first, Kublai Khan sent the Japanese a message. "Surrender and your lives will be spared," he announced. But the Japanese refused to surrender. So the Mongols built a fleet of warships and tried to sail across the water to the coast of Japan. The Mongols didn't know much about fighting at sea, but they never even got close to Japan. A huge wind blew up and forced the ships back towards the Chinese coast. Many of the Mongol warriors drowned, and the weakened Mongol army retreated back into China to gather its strength. 7 years later, the Mongols returned with even more warships and a larger army. They sailed towards Japan and met the Japanese ships for a battle at sea. The battle raged on and on. But just when the Mongol army seemed to be winning, another great wind howled down on the Sea of Japan. The Mongol ships were driven back towards China once more. Many sank. A storm had saved Japan for the second time. The Japanese believed that the gods had sent these two storms. They called these storms kamikaze, or divine winds. 1,000 years later, Japanese fighter pilots would remember these battles when they called themselves kamikaze pilots, because they descended from the air to destroy their enemies. Even though he never conquered Japan, Kublai Khan ruled over the largest empire in the world. For 23 years, he was the Emperor of China and the Great Khan of the Mongols. His name was feared throughout the entire world. But the Mongol Empire didn't last. After Kublai Khan died, his relatives divided his empire into small kingdoms, each one ruled by a minor chieftain. And in China, the dynasty Kublai Khan had founded grew weaker and weaker. soon Kublai Khan's descendants lost the Chinese throne. The huge Mongol Empire had been like a mushroom that springs up and grows to an enormous size overnight, and then fades away just as quickly. In all, the Mongol domination of the world lasted for less than 100 years.